Good evening, boys and girls, wherever in the world you might be. On this show today, we're in Southern California, we're in Northern England, and Dubai. Don't say we don't bring you all the colours of the world, as the Spice Girls once sang. This is the Lockdown Series, Volume 2, Episode 46. Here we go. Let's also not forget that it is indeed Dickie Bo Thursday. Welcome back, Mr. Super Kev, Super Kevin Campbell.
Bo, yep, here we go.
I've gone a little modern day, you know, trying to do my Farrell kind of, you know, I don't know what look this is I'm going for, but it's a Dickie Bo. It's actually from the 1930s, Kev, this Dickie Bo. Bought it from a vintage store.
Cool, nice. Yes. Nice one. Nice look to it. Is it
It's a skinny girl look, tuxedo look.
But it's not self-tie, is it?
No, it's a clip. It's a clip here and here.
Right.
It's
okay.
Actually, I got it. It was owned by a World War II
vet.
A World War I vet, I think it was.
Right.
It's a 30s bow tie. So anyway, too much about my bow tie. What do you think of my bow tie? Not really. Welcome to our guest, Mr. Geordie Pete Redding, the founder of Hollywood Balls. And also we're going to hear about this exceptional new app that he is part of. Welcome to the show, Mr. Geordie Pete.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. And sorry about the lack of Dickie Bo. Obviously didn't get the memo.
I mean, you missed the memo. I should have alerted you.
He knows. Don't worry. He leaves it to me. Don't worry. He leaves it to me.
Oh, well, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate
Pleasure.
It. How's life in Dubai these days?
It's good. It's gearing up. It's getting warmer. We are approaching the 30s. So our winter is almost over, and that's probably our greatest time temperature-wise because literally once it gets to summertime, it can become quite unbearable. We get up to 50 degrees. So we're enjoying the last remnants of our winter.
I love it. Very cool. It's been chilly here in California, but when I say that to Kev, he's like, what's your idea of chilly? And then you just kind of, you know, cut the conversation and move on to the next topic of the day.
I'll tell you what, London was cold yesterday, man. London was freezing. I'm telling you. On the Tuesday, it was warm. It was like a summer's day. The net got up the next day and it was like, what's happening here? It was freezing, raining, cold. Come up north, it was raining, but it was a bit warmer.
Crazy. Here's what I love about our listeners. Pete hasn't even said anything yet, and he's getting a yellow card for not wearing a Dickie Bo. So be careful, Pete. One more warning, and you're off.
I'm already on the back foot.
Well, listen, welcome to the show. I want to start at the beginning for you before you tell us a little bit more about what you do and the football app and, of course, how you and Kevin kind of got to know each other as well. There's some evidence behind you and, of course, with your name being Geordie Pete Redding, something tells me that your favourite bird might be a magpie, which means that as a football fan, you've had some great moments and suffered a lot in your lifetime. Tell us why, what happened, how did you become a magpie? Take us from the very top.
I will. First of all, when you say it was definitely the latter, because there's been a lot of in my 45 years, I haven't seen them win anything. So, you know, when I listen to other fans saying that they're starved of success, have a try at my world. I went to my first game when I was 5 years old, St. James's Park. My father took me. My father is one of four sons. His grandfather was a Sunderland fan, believe it or not. And way back then, they used to, in the Northeast, it would be families would go to see Sunderland 1 week and then Newcastle the next week. So my grandfather did that with all four sons. They all chose to support Newcastle. I wasn't afforded that luxury. I was taken to St. James's Park and told that was where I'd remain. And so I did.
I love it.
So that was my introduction to football, and it literally spiraled from there. I was chatting to someone yesterday. My family tried for me to have other hobbies, Sophie, and it was basically a losing battle. I was telling people yesterday that my parents went up to the school for the regular parents' evening, And they said, yeah, Pete's all right. You know, he does this, he does that, but he's obsessed with football. We gave him a woodwork project. He made goalposts. We gave him a technology project. He made floodlight pylons. So I was always meant to be in football.
Yeah. Oh, man, I absolutely love that. Absolutely love it. Do you remember, is your first game experience vivid?
Yeah. Yeah. I remember not watching the game. I remember coming up the steps, seeing the pitch, seeing the stand opposite, smelling cigarette smoke, listening to the noise. The noise was incredible. Newcastle were playing Barnsley that day. It was 0-0. And I remember I was a little boy. It was a 0-0. And it was the Cannon Second Division. And I remember saying to my dad, 0-0, is that it? Is that on a replay? And he said, no, we get a point each. And I hadn't understood that it was a league game. I assumed that we would play again. So that was my first game, which was quickly followed that season by a certain Kevin Keegan signing for Newcastle as a player. And from then on in, it was just everything was about Keegan. Way before numbers on the back of the shirts that the kids get now. So I had my mum sew on a red number 7 on the back of my Newcastle shirt way back.
Wow. It's so funny because there's certain players that, you know, obviously Keegan had his Liverpool moments, Kev and his Newcastle moments, certain players that are synonymous with kind of a couple different clubs. And it was so different for Keegan, wasn't it, at Newcastle than it was at Liverpool in terms of winning and stuff like that. But Newcastle and as a player, Kev, going there and playing at St. James's Park, forget about the new name of the club stadium, just like me, the Emirates, you lose a little bit of heart. But going there, their fans, if there's any fan group that deserve a little something, I would say it's Newcastle United.
Yeah, I think Newcastle, like quite a few other fans, they're very knowledgeable on football. I could tell you that much. And I remember my first taste of going to St. James's Park. I was 19 years old. I was on loan at Leicester and we played Newcastle at St. James's Park. So you imagine, this was Roy Aitken's first game. Mm-hmm. Pete, you probably remember this. Roy Aitken's first game, Sophie. John Burridge was in goal. You know what I mean? You had Mickey Quinn and all these guys playing. Mark McGee were up front. And I scored there. We were beating them 3-1 with 20 minutes to go, Sophie.
Wow. Yeah.
And at the Gallagher end, it was a terrace. Mm. There was no roof on it. There was no nothing. It was just open. And the noise that came, even at 3-1 down, the noise, and they ended up beating, that Leicester team at times could snatch defeat from the jaws of victory, let me tell you. Sophie, they could. And wow. we ended up losing the game 4-3. And the noise at the end was unbelievable. And I remember finishing the game and going out by the coach and I was speaking to some fans and then their knowledge of the game, that they knew so much. You know, you're on loan from Arsenal and, you know, we're going to see you in a few years. We're going to get promotion and, you know, you're going to be playing for Arsenal, et cetera, et cetera. It was amazing. The stuff that they knew, and this was obviously before social media, etc.
Yeah.
But the ground, the proximity of the ground to where that is central, so it's like, you know, it's like a shrine to everybody who comes into the UK. It's amazing.
It's like the nucleus of the city, and there's a spoke to the wheel, right? And then all the wheels just go off. I love Newcastle. I've had some great times in Newcastle. Did a couple of tours for British Films up there, and the people, the hospitality, and it's much more cosmopolitan now, especially than people think. But here's the scoop. I love that we could be talking about Newcastle, you guys, and then we have someone listening live from Chicago. We have someone listening from Sierra Leone. And trust me, once everyone sees these going up, they'll let us know where in the world they are. But that is what I love about the beauty of doing this show, Pete. So let's get to your love for football. You become a fan. And then what? You decide somehow, some way, you've got to have a career in the beautiful game. Talk us through these next steps and how Hollywood Balls came to be.
Okay, so in a nutshell, because it is a long story, basically what happened was that I was never good enough as a player, played at a young level, but I knew that I just was really, there wasn't a game that I wouldn't watch as a young lad and growing up and getting into work. So I took a job. But then I moved to Dubai and I had a friend who was on the local radio station and he had a sports show. And he said to me, you know quite a bit about football, blah, blah, blah. Would you help me because my guest is off sick today? So I stood in and then I did it again the next week and it went from there. And the next thing I knew, I had a radio show in Dubai with a big, the local Dubai FM. I did some stuff for the TV. And all of this time, obviously, I had friends at Newcastle United, the same age group as me. So I grew up with the likes of Lee Clark, Robbie Elliott, oh, wow. Stevie Watson. So I knew all of these guys. And when the footballers started coming over to Dubai, back in the day, that's how it happened. They would come over and do commentary work. They would come for the long weekends, the winter camps, the training camps, the football teams. So we used to look after them as people about town to show them where to go. And that's how I met Kev.
Yeah.
Wow. So you met Kev when you were interviewing him on a show?
Kev was working for the TV and at the time. And he was over with, was it Rob Lee?
Yeah, Rob Lee. Me and Rob Lee were doing some TV work.
In Abu Dhabi, though, wasn't it, I think?
No. We were doing, at the time, we were doing work in Dubai. But later on, we had to do it in Abu Dhabi. But I met you in Dubai.
So we met in a sports bar called Players Lounge. That's where I met Kevin Campbell. Players Lounge.
That makes sense.
And it was a sports bar, and we hit it off, and we had a couple of nights out. Shot the breeze over a few beers, chatted about football, chatted about Dubai, and we stayed in touch, and we became firm friends.
Yeah, and family friends as well, because Pete's mom and dad and family are like my family.
I cannot
go to Dubai without seeing Pete and his mom and dad and everyone. I can't.
I love that.
It's
so your whole
incredible.
Family's in Dubai, Pete. So no, is there anyone left in Newcastle or?
No. There's just we're all here. All in Dubai.
Nice. Would you ever go back?
I mean, I do go back, but I don't. Never say never, but I think life is here. It's certainly picked up in for me personally in the last sort of 18 months, 2 years, and I've been here 20 years as well, by the way. But the football gig, the radio stuff, the work, and the sports journalism stuff that I do is really sort of accelerated. So I tend to class this as home.
Awesome. Okay, so let's talk about, you love creating content, you love presenting, you do a lot of TV work, you do a lot of stuff through your company that you founded, Hollywood Balls, which, by the way, are you paying homage to all the people who have balls in Hollywood? Like, what's the, where does the name come from before we move on?
The name comes from this, is that we wanted a bit of glitz and glam, and obviously we wanted sport, which is the balls element. The Hollywood is your glitz and glam. But don't forget that it was a phrase coined by a certain ex-Manchester United player about golden balls himself, who said that when he pinged from one pitch of the other, it was a Hollywood ball. And I just love the name.
So for those that don't know, the person that is being referred to, Golden Balls, of course, is Mr. David Beckham. That his wife coined that phrase and became quite lucrative for him too, with a lot of his underwear endorsements, let's just say. Moving on swiftly, let's talk about, because the title of the show is Business in Football. And Pete, you come from a very creative place, being a presenter and a host. And I know you know exactly what it means to kind of try to tell stories, develop arcs and themes that engage an audience and really keep them motivated to stick with you over a period of time, let alone over a period of an entire season. So I want you to kind of marry your passion for the creative side and then how you started thinking about the business side of football, the forward thinking, future ready type of opportunities that are out there, and which will lead us to the football app.
Hollywood Balls came about the fact that literally it's a year old this month. And it came, I basically thought about it. I was on Capital Radio at the time, and we were sort of banging heads together with the production team and my way of wanting to go. So, of course, we had lockdown, and it seemed an ideal time to do my own thing. I had great contacts. Obviously, Kevin was a huge supporter of it, and I ran my idea past him, and he was like, go for it. And, you know, I decided that, given who I knew, that I wanted the whole essence of Hollywood Balls was to be able to speak to current players, ex-managers, ex-players, as though you were in a cafe or in a restaurant, in a bar, having that chat with them, not the chat that they get after the game. Yes, it was a great result for the lads, and you know, we're 3 points off with a game in hand. We all know that, you know. So my idea was to get the likes of Warren Barton on and talk about the great night that Newcastle beat Barcelona. What was said at halftime? You know, what was the boss saying? Was it, you know, you were 3-0 up against Barcelona? What you mustn't have been able to believe it. What was said in the dressing room? Questions that fans would ask, basically. So that was what drove the content part of it. I wanted to represent the fans with whoever I speak to, whether it be everyone has a passion about football. So it's not just footballers that come on the show. You know, we've had Sally Gunnell's been on, interviewed Jimmy Carr, the comedian, Tony Hadley, Arsenal fan as
you
well.
Gold.
Exactly, yeah. Yes. So it was all about getting
Sally Gunnell, by the way. Sally Gunnell, what a legend right there. Tremendous. For those that don't know the name, you know, you talk about athletes. Whew. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, and that was where it stemmed from, you know, and then from a business perspective, it was to look to make it into a business, because it was something that I was passionate about and something that I enjoyed about. So it was time to give it a brand. It was time to give it a message. So we looked at that with a design agency. We talked about it. We got someone on board to look at a brand and how we managed that. And, you know, were we going to take it from being fun to something that was possibly going to be a business and something that could sustain itself within the football world?
Yeah. You know, what's interesting is there are a lot of young people out there. Kevin and I talk about even some players who are, you know, even my young cousins, they're all at academies at some point. They're all doing something, trying to make it as a footballer at some point, and not everybody makes it as a footballer. And one of the things that we kind of want to do on our show is really start talking about the business of football and all of the different opportunities out there, especially for younger players. There was that tragic story last year of the young Manchester City Academy player who lost his life, you know, after he was kind of let go, maybe didn't understand or realize the potential that, you know, he could have as a professional within the game. And so we really want to start talking about a lot of these different spokes to the wheel of the beautiful game. Whether it is football, whether it's sports in general, but what we know is football. And so having people like you on, I really like the idea of it, because, you know, you can kind of go beyond just, I've spoken to this talent and I've spoken to these influencers in the game. Here's what I'm actually doing. And here are the opportunities out there, because technology has added another layer to sports. The financial world that we live in has added another layer to sports. And so for young people to kind of understand that the game as we watch it over 90 minutes plus added time is one thing, but what the game offers from a professional point of view, especially for the younger listeners out there, there's so many spokes to that wheel, Pete.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a fact of you know, of having a look. It's funny you talk about when you do research to look at this, and I did a lot of research as well. And something that stood out for me about podcasts or video casts, whatever they've evolved into, is that it's 70% planning and preparation. 30% activation. And all of that we had to take into consideration. You know, things like even sort of doing prep work. When's the best day? I'm in Dubai. I'm 4 hours ahead of the UK. When do people listen? Friday and Saturday is the weekend in Dubai. Saturday, Sunday is the weekend in the UK. Who's your target audience? You know, so there was a lot of SWOT analysis to go into it. There was also a sort of, do we give it a month and see who's listening, and see, you know, from there, do we go, okay, so the biggest listeners are from the UK. So do we, or do we make a model and get people to and believe in your product, and people will listen. And it's very much having the confidence to do that, because there's a lot of different aspects to you know, you don't just set up your mic and away you go if you've got good names. The content is one thing, but it's definitely the management, the planning, the look and feel. I mean, you know, I look at your, I look at your brand now. It's fantastic. You know, the opening, the tube. It screams London. It screams football to me. You know, going to away games from Newcastle on the way down to London. You get to London, that's 5 hours. You're like, right, what? Where's the ground? Now it's, oh no, you've got to get on the tube. And it's like, geez. So it's all about perceptions, and it was important from a marketing aspect that we had that right.
Yeah, and I think you know, from our point of view, everything begins with authenticity, right? And honesty, and we're never afraid to give our opinions, and at the same time we're very respectful of everybody else's opinions. It has got very heated on this podcast, as I know you've heard in the past, and you know, we're completely unafraid to wear our heart on our sleeve, because at the end of the day, even Kev says he's played the game at the highest level. You've been there, Pete, for many years, experiencing and watching it. But he always says, I'm an Arsenal fan. At the end of the day, he reacts but the perspective he gives is completely different, of course, having been in the dressing room and stuff. And we talk about that a lot. So I want to kind of take it to the next level, because we talk about, you know, vlogging and podcasting and all these great stuff, and all the young people out there that want to do it, just find your voice, find your, you know, your path, your lane, and go for it. You know, never be unafraid to do that. And, you know, a lot of the times now, Pete, you and Kev are part of this football app. I want you to explain it, why you got involved, how you got involved, what your involvement is in it, because a lot of our listeners have been reaching out and asking us questions through email and some DMs as to what the football app is. So start from the beginning.
Okay, so we had Hollywood Balls, of which Kev is a regular guest, and which has evolved into a live Saturday show. But prior to that, Kev was chatting. We were chatting, and we were talking about content being king. So Kevin introduced me to these guys, and he was telling me about the football app. So I said, okay, what's the football app? And I think, you know, it's multifaceted. So the best way to explain it is that it's a social network community for football fans, okay, which is TFA, which is the football app. Now, running alongside that in tandem is TFC, which is the football app's own currency, which is the football coin. But that will come in a sec. But predominantly, the football app is a simple, effective area for all football fans of all parts of the world. Who doesn't matter who you support, it's like a social media channel for football fans, but it has a gaming element to it. So within that, you know, you obviously, you log in, you're with your Arsenal brothers and sisters in the Arsenal section. You're also in the UK, if you're in the UK, or you're in Dubai, as we are over here. So it has different communities within the football app. But more so, it has games that reward you, and this is where the coin links into it. So basically, the games are, there's different games, there's score predictions, there's competitions, there's quizzes, there's pop-up games where, you know, you kick the ball in the back of the net, and all the time that you're playing these games, you're being rewarded with points, and these points, they go toward being the football coin. So you are earning as you are having fun, basically. And the guys there, that's what they say, earn while having fun, being in a football community like no other, by the way. So the way that it came about for me was that they liked Hollywood Balls. I love the football app. So we had a conversation, and then literally a couple of weeks ago, after quite a few months of chatting and saying how that I would like to portray their message through the show, we partnered up.
So the TFC coin, is that currency that operates within the app? So, for example, let's say I say Aubameyang's going to score 3 goals against Olympiacos tonight, and I put 10 TFC coins for each goal or total. That coin then becomes something I can barter and trade with going forward. I'm asking you this in late, like, because I know other fans are asking exactly the
same question. So what would happen was you would be given, you would log on in the morning, and you would go into your the part of the app which is the predictions, and it will give you a list of all the games around the world, and you can predict the score, not the score as the score, and for that you would get. If you get the score correct, you can get X hundred number of points. If you get the right result but not the correct score, you get a certain number of points. Those points go into your wallet, which is your TFA, your football app wallet, and they literally represent your bank balance within the app. And those points then go toward the coin. So the points, for instance, X number of thousand points will become one coin, and that's your link to the currency. So all the way to get to these coins, you need points, and the way to get the points are to be in the app and to be playing these games, the predictions, the competitions, and use it.
Okay, so basically, if I'm living in US dollars, I'm not having my points are based on what I'm saying versus money I'm putting into it myself. Is that?
Yeah, no money.
No money. So I don't have to put 10 bucks.
No, you earn the money.
Right.
So this is the beautiful thing. The football community within the app make their money by doing the normal stuff that you would do on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all the stuff that you like. You go into gaming, you make your predictions, etc. You can earn money to utilize within the app. That's the beautiful thing. And it's its own ecosystem. And as it starts to grow, you can utilize the app to buy a beer, to buy things from the football club, etc. It is going to grow and grow and grow. And the real important part of this is it is still not out the ground yet. There's over half a million people who are utilizing it around the world, Sophie, and people never heard of it. That's the beautiful thing. Without any marketing, without anything, there's half a million people who have this app. Now, for it to grow, for people to be able to earn well out of it, they need to just get on and use it.
So, Matty K getting in early like Bitcoin.
That's the one. You've got to see the problem. If anybody knows a little bit about crypto, Bitcoin doesn't have a use case. Bitcoin is a store of value. Okay. And look at the price of Bitcoin now. It's like 50,000 plus. You ain't going to make no money on that. The great thing about this is, it's only just gone live on Bittrex Global. And you think, oh, it's gonna be cheap. It's already over 40 something cents.
Right.
Yeah.
So this coin is only gonna get, it's gonna go higher and higher and higher.
So I just want to reiterate, because you mentioned this, Pete, but I just want to clarify it, because Thomas, who's a great listener from Norway, hopefully he can bring Haaland to the Arsenal. That's a whole other conversation. How does the app make money? Advertisement? I think Kev just alluded to that in terms of it's the same way as other traditional platforms.
I mean, it is, but also, you know, what the vision is that hopefully in the future, the end goal here is that football itself uses this as a currency. So teams, players, agents all use this as a currency. So the whole idea is that if you want to advertise on the football app. You use currency. You buy your ad space with currency. And that's the beauty with the TFC. Yeah.
So is the end goal to get the clubs, the same clubs that, that might be on a, you know, a platform like a Dugout or whatever those platforms are, the goal is to sign up as many teams to come onto the app as well as fan groups, podcasts, influencers? Yeah. Is that the goal, Pete?
Yeah, obviously, you know, they're looking for clubs to embrace this. Now, if as Kev just said, if you look at Cyprus, where they're actually using this, you can go to KFC.
Motherland, my motherland.
Yeah, there you go. So Cyprus is booming there because people are using it. You can go out for a night out. There's certain restaurants have it, takeaways have it, garages, hair salons are using it. So the bigger picture is to get that globally. And then, of course, in the business world of football, to be able to use the football coin as a currency.
Interesting, Kev. I mean, you know, we talk about a lot of the business of football, the future readiness of football, how it's going to embrace technology, also cryptocurrency. Look what Elon Musk is doing and did for Bitcoin with his announcement for Tesla. And I just kind of wanted you guys to maybe, obviously, this we're not comparing it to that, but what we are comparing it to is that as we move forward, the e-commerce space, the technology space, the social space as we know it is becoming more embracing this
crypto,
a lot more.
Digital. Look, it is going to explode. If anybody doesn't know anything about it, start doing your homework because everything is going digital. It is going digital. And you know, Arsenal, this is the hybrid squad. Arsenal have just brought out more training gear and different stuff. People don't have... Where is everybody going to find the money to buy all this stuff?
Right.
So no one's really going to give you money, per se, but why not? You still can be on all the other platforms, but why not have an opportunity to start earning your money? And so you could earn the money and pay for what you need. Because at the end of the day, whether it's a season ticket, whether it's the new kit, whether it's boots for your son, and even non-league teams, amateur teams could build on the football app, Sophie, because you know they have to go and pay subs, etc. This is a perfect way how to earn the subs to be able to pay the football club if the football club operates on the app. It's very clever.
Yeah, that's what I think sometimes it's very difficult for people to grasp. There's a lot of trepidation, right, guys, about the future and cryptocurrency and also bartering in a sense, which bartering I think is going to become much more part of our future. And you're talking about here in terms of you make choices, you get coins, those coins translate into X, Y, and Z. There's a little bit of an old school vibe about how we used to do things, but it's using a new vehicle of technology in order to be able to do that. So I think one of the things that, again, to help listeners understand, especially like me, I'm more of a creative brain than a maths brain, right? So in my mind, I'm like, okay, cool. So I could go on, I could pick my team for tonight, Aubameyang scores, that translates into coins. And then eventually maybe I can take those coins and get myself or put it towards a new shirt, like Kev said, or to pay off part of my ticket for this game. Is that what you guys are saying? Is that's the
end
model?
Game.
That's so, the end game, right?
That's the end game, because what has to happen is there's 4 billion football fans around the world. No other sport like it. But the key to everything is giving the fans something where they can win. Because when they're dealing with the football clubs, and no disrespect, they take. The fan gets nothing back. So this is a community where the actual fan can make. And what we want to be able to do is for the football clubs to be able to accept TFC. Because don't forget, TFC, the value of TFC keeps going up.
Yeah. Do you think Kev and Pete, I'll ask you both this, and by the way, Thomas is asking all the right questions, how would taxation work? And I want to get to that. But do you think the clubs, a little bit like my industry, okay, in film and entertainment, when Netflix first started, I think you guys all remember, you could rent 3 DVDs, you put them in the mail, they come to you in the mail, and then the next model, the 2.0, was 5. Now you can rent 5 DVDs. Oh my God, are you saying I don't have to go down to the street to Blockbuster? I could just take the DVDs, put them in my mailbox, my next batch arrives. I mean, some people are still even young enough to know how Netflix started, let alone how other business started beforehand. And then, I mean, I worked for 20th Century Fox and Sony Pictures for years and consulted for MGM2 at one point. And they missed the technology boat the same way the music industry missed the technology boat when Napster came out, right? And then the entertainment industry, all of a sudden, they're licensing and they're selling their assets to Netflix.
Yes.
They actually helped build Netflix. To the point now where, you know, Disney took over Fox. They wanted to acquire Hulu, you know, digital assets, you know, the landscape. I mean, it was a mess because in the end, Hollywood and the music industry realized we had it all, but we weren't the smart ones to think how to capitalize on it, right? Mm-hmm. So I guess where I'm going with the question is, do you think football clubs, a little bit like the entertainment industry, aren't thinking too far ahead?
Yes. 100%.
Totally. And also, don't forget as well, Kev, I'll let you go answer, but what's really important to remember about football clubs at the moment is that, like everybody else, they're hurting as well. And, you know, you look at their budgets, you look at all the mega money that goes into the game. If you have a clever owner out there who can see and look at this and say, hey, you know what, we're missing a trick here, then they will be able... Their value will soar through utilizing this currency.
Mm-hmm. For me, the football clubs are always the last to come on board, Sophie. And I tell you why they're the last to come on board. Because they've earned so much money over the years. They're not looking at how do we move forward. The pandemic might make them start to think, hold on, we need to do things another way. You, me, and Geordie Pete, we are fans. Mm-hmm. And everybody who uses the football app, for once, everybody wins. That's the key, Sophie. Everybody wins. So the local businesses in the area, they're the ones we want to be able to accept TFC. So they could get their economy going. They could make money. The fan could have use case. They could utilize whatever they earn on the football coin. And don't forget, it's in app currency.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting points. And all you're doing is utilizing your coin within the app. So you're not even taking it out.
Right. So it's not as risky as saying, I'm going to take $50 today and put it into the stock market. It may or may not float. Whereas if I took that 50, the way I see the football app is similar to, I love trivia, right? And now you can, through various outlets, including online gaming, et cetera, where you can bet your own brain against trivia online, right? So you're actually betting against yourself versus betting against the universe. And I understand from what I'm getting with the football app is you can just bet on your gut, your feeling. Obviously, results are what they are. But at the same time, you then take what you earn and win and you can put that into anything you want. Again, hence, you're the one making the decisions along the way versus a market dictating what the value is
exactly,
of what you're doing.
What you can and can't do, et cetera.
Right.
And do you know what I'd love to be able to do? I'd love to be able to have a hybrid squad chat room where we could run competitions inside the app where our squaddies can earn money, earn the points
absolutely
within it.
Yeah, because one of the
do that.
Yeah, and that's great, Kev, because one of the things, Pete, for us as a you know, I guess you say a brand, but for us it's the Highbury squad. Our listeners have labeled themselves squaddies. I mean, it's all happened organically. And we've never, ever asked our listeners, you know, for a cent when it comes to super chats or giving us donations or anything like that. If anything, we just want to give to them. Mm-hmm. So to be able to connect them with an app that benefits them, and we're not asking them to have to put money in their pocket, but at the same time, through the love of their club and the community, be able to earn something out of it because of that passion. That's, Pete, what I want for our listeners and the type of platforms for them to kind of be drawn to or sent to or associated with.
You, when you say that, you said something before that, that struck home. You talked about barter. Where I live in the Middle East, that plays a big part. And it's obviously played a massive part during lockdown with firms, agencies and clients not having ready cash available. So, for instance, a sports firm may want to do an advertising campaign. So they would approach a magazine or and they would offer them, they were offering their kit, basically their branded stuff in return for advertising space. So bartering here in the Middle East is a big thing. And, and you mentioned that, and there's no financial input. Now, on top of that, as Kev says, you know, this is free to sign up the app. And basically, it's like anything in life. What you put in, you get out. You could go on and have an hour in the morning, maybe predict a couple of games, scores, and leave it at that. You might get a couple of points from it. Or you can go and you can do every game. You know, and I predict most of, I do La Liga, Serie A, the Premier League. I'm even doing the Dutch League. I'm doing them all. So it is literally, there's no cost in there, but all the time you're using the app, you're earning points. And all the time that you're earning points, side by side, you're growing along with this currency, with the football coin. And as Kev rightly says, this isn't, it's not, you know, it's not, what you've got a wallet, you've got your currency, which is secure, and it's not a gamble. You're not going to lose that by putting it all on Red 75, for instance. So it's not that, you know. And I think Kev's right. It's fantastic for the likes of your squaddies to be able to give them the opportunity to have a look at it.
Yeah. Can you also, because trust is a huge thing, Pete, as well. And obviously, I just put a link in. I hope this is the right one, Casey. Maybe you could check it out. I think it is. Because we've set something up. I think I had set something up to see how it goes and to see what our audience thinks about it. But can you also talk us through one of the biggest issues for a lot of people these days is so many social platforms, privacy, all these types of things. Can you talk us through that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, it's actually very simple to set up because it requires a login, an authorization, which is like anything nowadays. But what you do is you pick your username, you pick the country that you're registering from, you pick your football team, so it'd be Arsenal, be it Newcastle, and then it comes up, you register your phone number, and then you receive a text message from the football app just to say that this is correct. You click on yes, and that's it. You know, there's no finance, there's no IDs, passport copies, there's no banking information, there's none of that. It's a phone number to make sure it's you, that you've registered Arsenal to the football app, that you live in London, that you live in Highbury, and you are Kevin Campbell. That's it. And then, you know, off you go into the world of the forums. You can chat with other fans, or you can get straight into predicting the scores and taking part in the competitions that are on there. And what I have to say as a football fan is that there are many, many different fans on there. And it's great fun and great banter as well. There's a lot of it on there.
Yeah.
Can I just add something to that?
Yeah, of course, Kev.
Because I think it's really important that we have seen over the past where there's been a lot of hate. There's been a lot of racism happening on social media, etc. And this is a little bit like a social media stroke community, football community. One thing I can tell you, the policy of the football app is you get one chance. Mm-hmm. If you contravene any of the policy, they shut you down. You could have a million pounds worth of TFC. They shut you down.
Mm-hmm.
That is it. They are not standing for any of that nonsense. So, you know, this is huge. But obviously, there's no advertising. They want it to grow organically to start with. And then you're going to start to see the push.
And yeah. And it's interesting because there's going to be more hubs and communities that grow within themselves, aren't there, guys? And in terms of how that can be managed, you know, depending on what the subject is, what the industry is, etc. So, you know, football communities are very tribal. I think that if it's always about the end goal is always about, you know, the team and how you could be rewarded for following a team. And it seems to me like this is a very safe and also fun way of not only connecting with fans around the world, which is what our podcast does and many other great podcasts like us do, but also that fans can have some fun and get something out of it, you know, for the time that they put into it. Because a lot of the times you put stuff into social media platforms and you don't really get a lot out of it. Sometimes abuse.
Yeah, you get abuse. And you know what, Sophie? Sorry, Pete. Can I just say this? To be a fan, and some of these guys put great time in, they deserve to be rewarded. As far as I'm concerned, you know, they deserve to be rewarded.
Yeah, and Kev, our listeners are asking about a code for us.
Yeah, I'll get you the code.
Okay, all right, cool. I'll get you the code, so if you guys follow that invite, that's come specially from KC, and then you can Kev will get us a code, and we'll debrief you guys. We'll put it on Twitter as well, and let's see. Let's go experiment, you guys, and have some fun and see how it rolls.
Here's the code.
Let's see. It is ZL4977. I'm going to put it in the chat right here. ZL4977. And the Z and the L are lowercase.
Lowercase, yeah.
All right. There you guys go. All right. Try it out. Let us know what you think. Check it out, Nadine. A lot of our regular listeners, thanks so much for everyone who's been in chat today and engaging in this. Pete, before you go, two things. I want to make sure that we've answered and told everyone all the great benefits of the football app, where they can find it, where they can go. But I can't let you leave without telling me a funny Arsenal Newcastle story as well. So let's get the business end out first and let everyone know how they can find you, your company, the football app. And if there's, you know, if people want to know more, if there's an email they can reach out to or DM or anything like that.
Yeah, well, if anyone wants any information and they want to chat about it before they even look at it or register, they can chat to me, no problem. You can catch me on Twitter. I am, my Twitter handle is Dubai_Geordie. I'm very happy to chat to people on there. Also, you can even send me a message on Facebook, which is peter.redding75. Please, honestly, feel free. Hollywood Balls is on Facebook also. Hollywood Balls is the handle at Sporting Chat. So anyone can get me on there and ask about the football app. If you Google the football app, you'll see the panda logo, the famous panda, and you'll know you're in the right place. It's also on Google Play. So feel free to any questions you've got, just ask me. As I say, you know, I was introduced to these guys through Kevin. Thought I did the same as people are probably going to do now. I went to have a look and see for myself, and the next thing I knew, I'd put probably about 8 hours in 2 days. It is good fun.
The predictions is brilliant.
Yeah, the predictions is great, and you know, in our household, it every morning with a cup of tea. What did you have City last night? Yeah, I had City, but Man City. Man City losing to Man United ruined my TFC over. Right.
Someone just wrote, Lone Star, I'll sign up, but the downside is interacting with Tottenham fans. Hilarious.
No, you don't need to. You don't need to. You don't need to interact with them. Stick to the Arsenal. Yeah.
Oh, great stuff. Okay, that's brilliant. And then Pete, I have to get at least one Arsenal Newcastle story from you, being such a football fan, and you've ingrained your career in this beautiful game. Tell us a funny story. Well, you alluded to something to me, so I want to know.
Yeah, I lived in London. I lived in Clapham, in
South, where, South where, London,
South, when Battersea, as it was known then, amongst the elite. No, and what it was that I think it was around 94. And I have to say, Newcastle have got a dreadful record when it comes to playing Arsenal. I've been to Highbury many times. I've also been to Wembley and seen us get beat in the cup final. So Arsenal isn't a happy hunting ground. So what had happened was I'd been in the Northeast the weekend before Arsenal were due to play Newcastle. And it had been a pretty heavy weekend back at home. And I'd sort of packed my bags for the train, a bit haphazardly, shall we say, Sophie. And I got back to London and I'd sort of realised that I'd left a T-shirt behind, I'd left some shoes. And anyway, cut long story short, Arsenal were playing Newcastle and I didn't get a ticket. It was at the times when the tickets were like gold dust in Newcastle. I think it was about, and you had that away end, Kev, at Highbury, which was fantastic, the clock end. And it was great because you had the whole end and it was a great atmosphere. So I was devastated. So I decided I would go up to the pub anyway and see my mates who were coming down from Newcastle. So I wandered up from Clapham and I got there and we were in this away pub and this Geordie guy comes up to me and he says, yeah, mate, he says, do you want a ticket for the game? I said, yeah, I'd love one. I said, how much do you want? He went, no, look, as long as you're a Newcastle fan. I just wanted to go to a Newcastle fan. So I said, great. So I had this ticket. My mates arrive and they're like, oh, Pete, we've brought your shoe. You left a shoe behind up in Newcastle, right? So I'm like, oh, no, I've got a ticket for the game. So they were all howling. And anyway, I remember, I'll never forget it. We were queuing up to get in and I had this Nike trainer in my hand. And the policewoman on, she said, what are you doing? And I said, look, I can explain. So I proceeded to tell her this story. And she just went, I've got my eye on you. I'm watching you. She said, if that trainer leaves your hands, you are mine. And I have to say, that day, the lucky trainer, as it's now known in the northeast of England, Peter Beardsley scored twice. Rule Fox scored.
You won the game. Yeah, I remember. Yeah, you won.
That's my out. And that trainer was our, that was called the Highbury trainer.
Oh, my God. I love it. Oh, it's just so brilliant. I love fan stories. They're just the best. So many wonderful memories. Our life memories are mostly attached to football.
Yeah.
You know, as fans and whatever. And it's just really great to hear them. You know, Pete, there've been a lot of questions about Newcastle.
Yeah.
And I think our listeners would be upset with me. Well, not upset, but they wouldn't be happy, put it that way, if I didn't ask you about their questions regarding Mike Ashley, sure, the future of the club. You know, we've had Warren Barton, a very good friend of the show, on, breaks his heart. We've had Mickey Gray on Sunderland, different side of the story. The fan base up there is way too good for these two clubs to not be doing well. Newcastle need Premier League football. What happens next?
What happens next is it's very simple. And, you know, Kev knows as well that there's only one solution, and that it needs new ownership. But let me add something that not many fans will say. Mike Ashley has a golden opportunity to be an absolute, he could be as big as Keegan in Newcastle, Mike Ashley. He could be as big as Keegan if he got it, if he saw what was on his doorstep. You know, the fact remains is that when Keegan was there and Sir John Hall owned the club, we used to get 4,500 turn up for training. You know, the city is, it lives and breathes football. And if Mike Ashley had tapped in to what is possibly one of the biggest clubs in the Premier League, certainly from a fan base perspective, who else gets 52,000 in the Championship? You know, it's frightening. I don't want to go into the takeover. It hasn't happened. There's two takeovers haven't happened. I was involved in reporting on the first one from Dubai. I'll stay out of that. You talk about, you know, certain social media forums being bullying. I witnessed that myself. All through football, and I think that Newcastle are in a very, very sad situation. And I actually think that they will. I don't think they'll be lucky this season. I think they'll go down.
Fulham have made it very difficult for Brighton and Newcastle. They've put them under the spotlight now, Kev. You know, complacency set in. I think everyone assumed that Fulham would just be relegated. And we talk about sleeping giants. Newcastle, although they may not have won, you know, football and sports, yes, is all about winning. But at the same time, when you have a fan base like that, look how Leeds faded. You know, Nottingham Forest, one of your old clubs, Kev, that had won at the highest level with a legend like Brian Clough. Yeah. Not easy. This time, if Newcastle do go down, I think they could be in real trouble with the bounce back and coming back up as quickly as they've known over the years.
Yeah, I agree with Pete and I agree with you there, Sophie. I think the quicker a new ownership comes into Newcastle, the better. I think Newcastle are in a deficit right now, although they're out of the bottom three. I think the fact that they've lost that front three is going to be very, very difficult. I think the front three ain't fit until, I believe, end of March, April. I mean, it could be curtains by then.
And in true football style, the last game of the season is Fulham Newcastle.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh, can you imagine? How ironic is that? Or could that be? My gosh, Kev, another survival Sunday.
Well, and I think, you know, the truth is, I think it could get to that. I really think it can get to that, because if I'm not mistaken, I think Fulham play Man City on Saturday.
Yeah.
You know, so the games are coming thick and fast. Fulham have had a great result at Liverpool, a poor Liverpool side at the time. But Man City are going to deal with them, I think. And it's going to go down to the wire. Newcastle cannot get that front three back quick enough.
Yeah. And agree, Lone Star, that's what we were saying earlier. These three clubs up north there, very special. I mean, there was a time where all three were in the Premier League, right, Pete? And
exactly. And Sunderland as well. You know, I've got to give a mention to Sunderland. Without the rivalry, but it could be that Newcastle face Sunderland again next season, which, you know, at the start of this season, you would never have even dreamt of. Sunderland are going well. I've got to give them a special mention. I've got a lot of friends who are Sunderland fans. They're at Wembley this weekend. Well, the team aren't. They're in the Papa John's Pizza Cup final. At the end of the day, they're at Wembley. They're in a final. And they've got feel-good factor. They've got new owners. They've put a run together.
I'm ready, Pete.
Don't leave out Graham the Jinx.
Graham the Jinx. Graham is a friend of mine, a Sunderland through and through. He's been to Wembley 8 times, never seen them win. He was featured in the documentary on Netflix. Sunderland Till I Die.
Yeah.
He was in
that's
that,
right.
And he's been on our show with taking Kev on, and we've nicknamed him Graham the Jinx.
It's a guaranteed win then for Sunderland this weekend.
Yeah, they're winning. They've got to win.
Oh, man, the Papa John's. But that reminds me of like when I call, thank you for calling Papa John's Pizza. Today's special is a Sunderland win with a little trophy on the side.
Oh, yeah, a pizza reaction.
Well, that's brilliant, Pete. Thank you so much again for joining us. Some really insightful stuff on the football app. We love bringing new information to our listeners and new opportunities as fans, different ways to enjoy the game. And we're a community here. And anytime we can share a new community with them where it's safe to hang out and have fun with fellow Gooners and other fans, we're all about that. So we really appreciate you coming on today. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Now, wish the Arsenal good luck against the Greeks tonight.
We will do that. Come on, Arsenal. Oh, as I say to Kev by a text message, how are the Gunners?
How are the Gunners? How are the Gunners?
And thanks to our friends at Football Prizes. Go to footballprizes.co.uk. Remember, you can get yourself a signed Patrick Vieira shirt. The auction is tomorrow. After the post game tonight, Kev and I will be back to talk about Olympiacos versus Arsenal. Who will be victorious? Come on, the Arsenal. Let's do this. And until then, Casey, let the kids know.
Come on. Come on and up the Arsenal. Come on.